Welcome to the Data Life podcast. In this episode, I will cover my experiences and the lessons I learned while building a data science video course with Packet Publishing. I will also cover royalties, payment, and pros and cons of different platforms. If you're thinking of building a video course in data science or are just curious about how does the economics and pricing of video courses work, then this podcast is for you. Welcome. I love writing blogs and sharing my experiences and ideas with others. Sometime in middle of 2018, I wrote a blog titled Moving from Python to Go, which talked about my experience of using Go for some data science tasks. I published this blog on Medium and several hundred people read it in the first few days. Just a few days later, I was approached by Packet Publishing, which was interested in me developing a video course for them titled Data Science in Go. The acquisition editor who approached me was friendly and talked about how she found me via that blog I had written. She set up a Skype call to go over the details. I was asked to submit an outline which they would have reviewed by a board. It felt nice to have been approached by a publisher I knew, and it was a nice kick of validation. I quickly started building the outline and developed it thoroughly, including the section titles, video titles for each section, as well as short sentences about each one. While building the outline, I wanted to cover all the points that I thought should be covered by a course on data science in Go. In a week or two, I heard back from them and the course had been approved under the title Hands-on Fundamentals of Data Science with Go. I thought the name was actually too long, but nothing much could be done at that point as the board had already approved this course. I signed a document which was kind of a so-called contract. It talked about how I would be paid $1,200 over the period of building the course in 3 installments. I thought the payment was low and tried to negotiate for a higher payment, but no luck. They said that we anticipate the course to sell well and you can earn with 16% royalties. So, if the course was sold for $10, I would get $1.6 from royalties. I got to know later though that these royalties will backfill the payment of this $1,200. So, I would need to sell 750 copies at $10 before another dollar is paid in royalty. But I thought that building a video course will be a good experience and I signed the contract. So I did not actually really go too much into the math of it. I just thought that, okay, they're paying me $1,200. It's not a lot, but so what? Just, it's a good experience to build a course. I learn a lot and teaching. I love writing blogs. I had never built a video course before that. So I thought, you know, why not just go for it? So I signed the contract and then I was assigned a content development editor who would help me build the course. The team was in India and me being in US, we had such a different time zone that I had to talk to them several times around my midnight to catch them in the morning. I guess it was not that bad, but it did feel that I had to wait for a day or two to get resolution on anything. So it kind of slowed things down. Then the editor went on a vacation for 2 weeks without informing me and left me a little stranded without feedback. The good thing though was that since they had a team, they would do all the audio editing and all those kind of things for me. So that kind of was pretty nice. Things moved actually very slowly at first. I had to re-record several videos due to low quality of audio. They asked me to build an isolation box to cut out the background noise. It was quite stressful as re-recording the same piece of video again and again and not getting any feedback for a while can get quite tense. The mic they recommended was a condenser mic. I wish I had used a dynamic mic instead, as it does not pick the background noise as much and sounds more like radio. The mic I'm using currently is a dynamic mic, by the way. So at this point, my workflow was something like this. Develop slides for the content based on the outline. Write code for the topics I want to cover in a text editor. run the code and make sure it is working, record the video while recording the screen as I type and run the code, and finally have introductions and closing statements for every video. Developing a data science course in Go was not easy. Go is a great language, but does not have a great library support for data science. And though it was fun to look at the basics, but it was still very difficult to kind of go through all the documentation, look at several blogs, and try to figure things out. It was fun though to look at the basics, such as implementing your own set library, which Python has out of the box. In my first couple of sections, I covered topics like building a Twitter client which retweets on your behalf, storing data in JSON and CSV, as well as general static typing things in Go. Right about at this time, about a month into building this course, around November 2018, I was approached by the head content editor of Packet, who told me that my course has been selected for special promotions during the holiday period. People will be given access to the course at only $5, and that would increase the sales tremendously. Naively, I thought that it would be good for the course to get over soon and I can focus on other things, as well as earn more revenue through this promotional deals. Also, Packet should be knowing what they are doing, right? They have selected my course, so it's amazing. Just that I would have to deliver the remaining course in just 3 weeks or so. So this comes out to be about one section every week, so 3 sections are remaining in 3 weeks. Teaching a concept is way too different from just having the concept running in code, and being Packet and being such a huge publishing house, Packet should have been better aware about how long it is going to take and whether to push hard on the author and reduce the quality of developing it. I was trying to put in all my effort and all my energy into developing a great course, but having the Packet pushing me hard on the deadlines was stressful. Anyways, being the first time author, I said okay and started to push hard on developing the course further. Also, I was mailing them back and forth regarding the delays in payments. Feel that again, being such a huge publishing house with several hundreds and thousands of titles, Packet should do a better job of communicating with the author regarding the timelines of payments. And if there are delays in the payment, they should be open with the authors rather than leave him or her hanging while they're putting in tens of hundreds of hours in developing a video course for them. Later, I found out that it is normal for Packet to delay the payments by a month or two. The reason I'm talking about this in this podcast is because I want all of you to know what to expect so that you can make a more informed decision. Anyways, I had to continue building the course, right? So at this time, while doing a full-time job, I was coming home and just working on this course any second or minute I got. On the weekends, I was working on this full-time. Researching Go code, debugging and building slides while doing a full-time job was taking a little bit of a toll. I built the last 3 sections on recommendation engines, text classification and time series analysis during this period. In fact, recommendation engines is actually one of my favorite topics and it was actually fun to build it. In fact, I covered it in my previous episode and the entire code has been shared on GitHub. I also had to build assignments, text summaries of every course video, as well as clean up all the PowerPoint slides. It was actually fun to build the course, but was also a little bit stressful to be honest. Eventually, while being on a vacation, I had to apply the finishing touches to the course, and the course was released late December 2018. Yay! I eventually received all the payments too. Overall, I do feel proud of having a data science course out there. I learned a lot of lessons, and there are a lot of things I want to change in my next course. After the break, let's talk about these lessons learned and how you can apply them if you're planning to have your own video course. Now, let's talk about the 3 main lessons of building the video course and how you can apply them. First one, do the math on the royalties, payments, and number of hours of work estimated in building the course. So, as a first-time author, I glanced over the numbers without doing too much math. Working with Packet, I ended up getting less than minimum wage for the number of hours I had put in. That's why it is important to note the financial aspect of building a video course. The goal is to help students learn about a topic you're good at, but it is also to do it in a financially sustainable way. I'm talking more about it in an opportunity cost way. I think it's important to know what is the financial aspect of it before jumping in and putting in several hundred hours of your time into this. Now, let's talk about a few platforms and kind of compare them and see what royalties they pay. The most famous one among the video course authors is Udemy. So Udemy shares 50% of the revenue with the creators if they get the student organically. So what organically means is that if Udemy publishes the course on their website and someone clicks on it from the homepage, the creators get only 50%. But the creators are paid 97% of the revenue if the students sign up using the instructor's sign-up code. Also, there is no upfront payment. Packet pays 16% royalty and they also pay you $1,200 upfront. So your risk is a little bit minimized. They also help you a little bit with content editing and so on. With Packet, you have no control over the video course. You cannot edit or update it, nor can you change the descriptions or any metadata. Both Udemy and Packet do not share email addresses of students with you, so you cannot cross-sell your future courses to them. Both have a marketplace through which students can organically find your course, which I think is pretty nice for the first-time author. And for this, I'm actually quite grateful to Packet, which gave me an opportunity to build this course. Now, I want to talk about another platform called Teachable. Teachable allows you to host your own video courses on your own website, and there is no public marketplace for people to find your courses organically, but people can find you on Google or your blogs or on your Twitter and so on. So basically, you are in full charge of the marketing. However, you can get back the entire revenue of the course and also retain email addresses of the students. Going forward, I'm planning to use Teachable as I really like how smooth the web pages look, and they also host the videos on their own platform without any limit, and you own all the rights of the course, which I really like. So if your course gets really successful and you want to write a book on it in the future, you can do so from Teachable, because Teachable does not own any rights to your video. With Packet, I'm pretty sure that you do not own any of the rights. With Udemy, I'm not sure. I think you should be fine if you want to write a book on something that you have built a video course and published on Udemy. But I think I would double check. So in summary, it is important to estimate the number of hours you will need to develop the content to get the per hour rate. You'll be putting in a lot of site time on a course. The time you could use in hobby projects or building a startup or freelancing. You want to make sure developing the course is financially sustainable. Of course, it's not easy to estimate everything upfront. The second lesson is know clearly if you want to be in touch with students and also frequently update the course. Part of it will also depend on the kind of content you are building. So if you're working on generative adversarial networks or by LSTM models or something, you might want to update this content as new versions of TensorFlow and PyTorch come out. So this will actually play a big role in you deciding which platform to choose. So if you want to frequently update the course and stuff, Packet is a no-go. Udemy will allow you to update the course and be in touch with students, I think. But there is a limit on the times you can talk to them. I think it's twice a month or something. And also, you are not allowed to cross-sell your courses in Udemy. Again, Teachable wins it for me here, as it is an independent platform where I can own the domain, do frequent updates to the course, as well as be in touch with students. Another thing is the importance of first reviews. In my case, a reviewer left a bad review saying that the speed of the videos was too fast. Having the GitHub code would have been helpful for this reviewer, I think. But since Packet hadn't updated the GitHub link to the code base in the metadata of the course description, I think this reviewer couldn't find it. But even though I could see the review, I had no control over contacting the reviewer and just letting him know about this link. He was the first reviewer, and his 3-star rating might have had an effect on other potential signups. So it is important to keep this in mind as well. So Udemy has a star rating system. Packet itself does not have it, but if Packet uploads your videos to Udemy, again you will be given a star rating by the reviewers. In Teachable, there is actually no star review system. In fact, I do sometimes think that it might be a good idea to have this kind of testimonial things, but I think Teachable wants you to get actual testimonials and put them on the website in the form of HTML rather than relying on some outliers changing the perception of the course in front of the public. Now for the third lesson, and I think the most important lesson. Build the course for a topic on which you've had gotcha and aha moments that you've accumulated over a while. What I mean by this is that it is important to build a video course on a topic in which we have had several gotcha moments. Things which are truly insightful that you have accumulated over several months or years and a lot of suffering. This, I feel, will translate into content that will be fully appreciated by the people tuning in, and you can help them overcome the hurdles that you have to overcome in a very quick way through your video course. I actually feel that learning from video courses is actually quite amazing. I can see the person typing the code, I can feel what the person is feeling, and can learn quite quickly compared to a book or something else. So this point about choosing the course based on things that you have had deep insights in will, I think, translate into an amazing course for you. This will allow you to fully maximize your potential building a course. If there is a course you want to build, say 6 months from now, how about starting to collect nidbits and small topics somewhere so that when you start recording your videos, you would already have a lot of deep insights written down somewhere. That's just a suggestion. And finally, for a bonus lesson as well. Do market research. Google Ads has a nice keyword planner that you can sign up and see what terms people are searching for. This will allow you to name your course around topics that people are searching for in Google. Anyways, this was my experience building my first video course. It was a lot of fun, and I learned so many lessons, which I hope will help you in your journey of a video course. I'm planning a new video course on overview of query understanding techniques that will cover information retrieval and query understanding techniques for various search engines, including using machine learning to rank products. Link to this Teachable course is in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and wishing you the very best.